now you are concentrating primarily on what?
Well, now I'm concentrating primarily on what I would call the terrestrial situation.
Uh-huh.
And the terrestrial situation, as you know, since so many of your guests do dwell on it, is that we have a whole number of looming conditions and trends on this planet, which, if nothing else, bode for huge change directly ahead. Not necessarily bad, but challenging. And I believe that there's an enormous amount that we need to understand if we are to intelligently interact with the future that we are creating willy-nilly at every moment.
It's going to make all of us a little more flexible, isn't it?
Well, it ought to. We need to be flexible. We need to be light on our feet. And above all, we need to be attentive. We need to be paying attention.
How much is technology creating what will be some dramatic change for all of us?
Well, technology is very much at the heart of the whole matter, George. It's not the only factor, but it is more a factor today than it has ever been. And, of course, the entire sweep of the 20th century showed us that very clearly. We have entered into a time when technology changes everything, you know, every few years. And we are certainly in that condition now on a huge technological wave. But unlike the 20th century, the nature of technology in the 21st will be driven more by biotechnology than anything else. And that is a brave new world that we have scarcely scratched the surface of.
You know, tell me how dramatically that will change. I mean, what are some of the things that will happen?
Well, there's all kinds of things that are going to happen. Probably the thing closest to home, and for many people the scariest, is how we will manipulate ourselves. What we will do to the human genome. How we will doctor and tailor and engineer people. There are many good things that could come out of this, including the final ridding of numerous diseases and ills of society. We can eliminate infant deformities and all kinds of problems like that. We can probably eliminate diseases such as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's very soon. Those diseases are on the way out, I believe. Human cloning will be a fact of life before long.
No matter what rules and laws are made.
Exactly right. And when that happens, it opens a door. If ever there was a Pandora's box, there's a Pandora's box for you. My book is very much about some of the conditions that evolve as a consequence of human cloning.
Excelsior. Correct?
Exactly. Excelsior is the name of the book, and biotechnology is at the core of the book. What can happen in the realm of biotechnology? If you look through a window at the year 2035 and just looked around, what would you see, and how would biotechnology have kind of insinuated its way into daily life? What new assumptions would be operating? What new challenges would humans be up against because of the 30 years that we had walked from the moment that you and I are in right now to the moment when the story opens. These things are relatively predictable. Again, I'm not saying I can say for certain anything that will happen, but I can say probabilities are high.
Would you think, Michael, let's say from 1900 to 2000, we saw growth in advance in human technology and in mind power that was never matched before on this planet. A mere 100 years did things from not flying to where we've been to the moon and now we've got craft going outside of our solar system and beyond into the universe. People might not ever have imagined that back in the 1900s. Now it seems to me that the pace that is growing is at such a rapid clip that this 35 years we talk about, now let's go back, 1900 to 1935, there was still dramatic growth, but I think from 2000 to 2035, the year that you bring up, that the growth and the pace might seem like 500 years.
Well, I think you're right. I think that the pace of change in technology and the way it affects all of us is accelerating in precisely the way that you said. If we look for analogies, of course, the one you've already mentioned about human flight, is a perfect analogy, but if we, let's just look at 1900 to 1935 as an analogous window. In 1900, there were no powered aircraft.
Right.
In 1935, there were rather advanced aircraft capable of conducting warfare on a gigantic scale, and we were about to enter into World War II, where aircraft were going to do astonishing things, including turn a number of major cities to absolute rubble.
It changed the face of war.
Changed the face of war in that span of time. In that same span of time, radio went from a bizarre novelty that no one knew about to something that everyone listened to every day.
Yes.
Television had been invented by during that period. In other words, the pace of technology was already starting to ramp up at an enormous rate of speed. Jump to 1950, and let's talk about the computer revolution. In 1950, the only computers on Earth, and there were only about two or three of them at that time, filled whole rooms, even whole buildings, and had the capability about the same as a $10 pocket calculator that you can buy at, you know, at your corner Walmart. Today, as we know, computers have literally transformed the face of the world. Now, if we look at biotechnology in comparison, we are right now today where computers were in 1950.
And that's remarkable.
We are going to live to see things in the realm of biotechnology that will literally blow our minds.
You know, I sometimes think, Michael, what did we do back in the 60s? You know, you didn't have cell phones. You didn't have microwave ovens. If you had air conditioning at all, it was probably a window unit. You remember those?
Sure.
And yet we got by. We made it. Our cars, if you recall, some of them didn't even have power steering. I used to remember, you know, trying to make turns. I mean, it was like turning a truck or a tank. Yet we got by. And now, all of a sudden, with technology, things have become so simple. We've got cell phones that are small. You can now take pictures on your cell phones. And, I mean, and the clip is so dramatic. Yet in the biotechnology field, now that they have mapped the human genome and they were going to know exactly where to target and what to target, it is endless with what they're going to do. So one concern here is okay, so you have a country like the United States that ultimately will ban, let's say, all cloning, regardless of stem cell research for now. Yet you're going to have some country somewhere that's going to permit it. And your knowledge and your flood of knowledge is going to go there, won't it?
Absolutely correct. Technology does not honor borders. And where technology is denied in one place, it will seek a new home, and it will flourish wherever it is allowed. It will flourish illegally if necessary. But one thing you can be sure of, human cloning will be accomplished. It will be accomplished with lots and lots of problems, you know, kind of associated with it, especially in the early going. And some of the things that people fear about human cloning are justified. But like all new technologies that are extremely complex, it's going to go through a developmental curve. There are going to be some false starts along the way. The caution that is being expressed by our government is absolutely warranted. The knee-jerk rejection of the whole idea, however, is just plain stupid. This is an unstoppable idea. It's going to happen.